Welcome to the Shamums.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Shamums podcasts here with your, here with your hosts, Lou and Dan. Hello, my lovely.
Hello, Lou. How are you, my dear?
Good. I'm just going to never be able to say podcast, singular.
Podcast.
I have to halt myself. Nice to chat, hey. It's been a wee while since we've been on here talking.
I know, I've missed you on here, on our studio.
I know. It's like our wee home base of just nuggets of conversations that we have and bring together, which we like to share. And yeah, well, life's been pretty hectic, hey, in the background. So,
well, we just had school holidays, I think. That was the main issue with the recordings.
Yes, and then around it, yeah, just we make them happen when we make them happen, and that's where we're at. We have planned low this one for quite a while. I think we were talking about this last year. Soul loss and soul fragmentation, and maybe a wee bit of soul retrieval as well, because there's your problem and your solution to it. Pretty epic issue. Like that is going on with everyone around the world. And I must say, I wasn't aware of this until we explored shamanism, by the way. But I can say, just like everything that I've gained knowledge of over the years, it is the remembering that you get, and you realize, that is exactly the reason for every issue there is going on in the world, all the chaos that ensues. And it's obviously been in place for many years and controlled for that detrimental effect. But yeah, it definitely, once you know about it, and that's what we want to do, share the knowledge of it so people can see for themselves how that applies to your life and how actually there are solutions and there are ways that you can repair and that you can embody again. It's not all doom and gloom. So yes,
yeah, I think it's, I mean, obviously when you have soul fragmentation, like if you say it's being used, or, you know, if we wanted to really start off talking about MK Ultra Lou, which was the mind control program that was run by the CIA in the 70s. And it was described as a, you know, it was used really to brainwash people and to make people submissive and weak so that they would share information, basically. So kind of like squashing them down and using that mind control to make them weak, basically, and controllable. And in that sense, that's how it's reported, you know, on Wikipedia or whatever, if you want to look into MK Ultra. But in actual fact, you know, they were actually going in and causing soul fragmentation or splitting the soul, which causes that weakness then you're not completely whole. So, yeah, in that sense, if you have soul fragmentation, it's much more difficult to connect with source and live your life connected to source and your higher self if you have this sort of soul fragmentation in place. So it sort of is used in that spiritual warfare and is also, you know, caused by other factors, like childhood trauma is another major cause of soul fragmentation, or any trauma really in your life. But yeah, it's interesting you said that, Lou, that it is used, you know, it is used to control people.
It's probably the main weapon that is used because it's been in place for so long. So this has been a long-term plan in spiritual warfare to fragment the soul, because if you look at it from the starting point, so we are a soul. So we're a soul, we're in a human body, and we have emotional, mental, physical representations, but our soul is everything that has lived through every life that we've been in. It is the container of that. So a soul is an individual consciousness unit that has originated from source. So we've all come from source. We were all formed as a fragment of it, and that is the soul. So the soul then collects all the experiences and the memories that we accumulate through our physical experiences. And this just doesn't go for this lifetime. It's every lifetime that we're in. And as the soul's going along, collecting these experiences, it's then communicating and translating into this energetic representation of reality. So the consciousness that we are as a soul is fed by the energetic representation of all these experiences that we're going through.
Exactly.
So they're all recorded, all these lifetime experiences that we're in the soul, and they translate into these memories. And this is why I was talking about saying that we remember things over time. You know, we always have the information. It's always there because we've lived so many lifetimes, and it's just embedded in us. And so it's in our cells. It's in this sort of like DNA matrix that we have of our body within the soul. So the soul has all of this. And without the soul being whole or connected, you know, having that fullness, having that wholeness, the memories that we have and the energetic representations, they begin to become distorted or even sometimes completely blocked out or non-existent through all this soul fragmentation. And then we lose the experiences that we've had. We have blocked everything that's there. And because the soul is really like, it's the epitome of connection to source. So if you think about what the soul can do at its highest representation, it is like premium, like emotional state will be love, like full love connection, you know, when we return to source, because it's such a high sensory like body of ours. Then if we are fragmented and we're distorted and we have soul loss, we are going to be unable to experience that because there's parts of us missing that were like pieces of the puzzle to fit in, to then return to that wholeness and allow the wholeness then to be like this wave of expression of love that just continues. So really, like in every, and I know that the New Age take this and they distort it so much, and you know, many religions do, but ultimately it all comes back to love. And this is without that, you know, sing-song way off it, that all you need is love. It really is, that is your fullest, truest expression of soul consciousness. And then also, so every soul, as we are a fragment coming from source, each soul has its own unique blueprint. So that unique blueprint is your purpose, like your divine purpose, which is to experience, learn, and evolve through all the aspects of creation. So you talk about polarity, as we've talked about in another episode, and duality, that you will experience hate, you will experience fear, you will experience joy, you will experience shame, you will experience all these extremities of every emotional exploration and everything that goes with that. So this is like the soul's journey. And I think what happens as well, what I would say in experience, when people discover about soul loss and soul fragmentation, is that it is divine time, and obviously, but it's also at the point where their soul's journey knew they were going to get there. They were going to come to this realization that, okay, all right, a lot has happened to my soul over time, and now is my time to call back those soul parts, to return them, to do what I need to do, to then return to wholeness. And it's almost like, and I see this with people when I'm working with them in healing, that I'll see all the soul parts and they're, you know, different things are going on. It's very, very traumatic. A lot of it is in childhood, yes, and but a lot of it is also past lives experience. So if you think of the history that we've been told of Earth, wars, genocides, mutations, you know, as much that you could embody of negative emotions that are carried through the decades, through the centuries, the millennia, all imprinting the soul the whole time. And even though there is a process, and I've talked to you about this before in our personal conversations about when we pass away, and the soul has the time to sort of go to like a healing space in the realms to repair itself, there are still imprints that happen, and there are still parts of soul loss from past lives that we need to repair and we need to return. So it starts with this life, like it's very apparent in this life. You can piece together your own history from your born, and you can maybe recognize or not recognize. And in a lot of cases, there's disassociation and there's blocking out of the memories. But once you start the process, it just begins to naturally occur that you want to explore more and more and more. And you go into all of this lifetime. And that's not to say that you start to get all these pieces and you're like, okay, right, there's this life done, let's go into the next one. It's the biggest parts will return to you first of all. But yeah, so that's what's happening with the soul on a level. Now, the soul loss and soul fragmentation is more about the damage of the energetic body. So when we are destructive to ourselves or we're destructive to others, that is sort of the main definition of how the soul fragments. Mm. And that's why we talk about, you know, being in service and aligning with wholeness, because you're never going to operate that way. So the best thing to do when you first come to this realization that this can happen is to just align your morals, align your actions and your behaviors, so no more of it will occur.
Mm.
But it's also, you know, there's such a spectrum, isn't there, of representation.
I think it's interesting too, like, if when you even say soul fragmentation, like when I even first heard that term when we were learning about it, you just think, like, you know, what is that? Like, how can your soul fragment? Like, you think, like, what, nobody really knows what the soul is, what it looks like. How could you see or know that it was fragmented or broken in a way? But if you think about, like you said, if the body is an energetic body and we have an energetic body attached to a physical body, emotional body, we have all those different layers and they are all attached, then if you do have that, if you do have any trauma, it's almost like a disruption to this pure like energy field that you have around your body. And even scientifically, like if you throw particular vibrations into another energetic body or its own sort of container, that will disrupt like the frequency and the vibration, you know, and sometimes permanently can like damage that instrument or damage, you know, whatever energetic thing. Like even scientifically, like you can disrupt energy fields like that permanently. And to me, that's when I sort of understood what soul fragmentation means. And then if you think about it in terms of, you know, what they were doing with MK Ultra, and you could just say, okay, well, maybe they were just brainwashing. They were also using like a lot of drugs, like LSD and all these other kind of crazy drugs, and you know, we're experimenting on all these people to basically make them submissive and make them weak. They were in a way that brainwashing and oppression and suppression is causing the disruption to the energy field. Like you could call it, okay, you could call it memory loss or severe trauma. I mean, you can label it all these different things, but ultimately your energetic container is being permanently damaged or fractured. And I think when you are doing soul, you know, soul retrieval, or you're looking to see if you have soul fragmentation and to retrieve those lost soul parts, you really are just in a way repairing, like basically repairing your energy field to make it more whole again. Because like you said, it is more difficult to connect with source and to live authentically from that whole consciousness if you have this disruption. And you know, it can either be done deliberately, which, you know, I think we're not going to get into in this episode, but you know, you could look at places like Hollywood and these kind of like major media organizations around the world who are kind of controlling everything, and a lot of the people at the head of those organizations have been deliberately had soul fragmentation imposed on them as children under these kind of brainwashing programs. But again, maybe that's a bit too heavy for this podcast. But yeah, I think it's good to talk about
the root of it.
It is good to think on a spiritual battle level that if these sort of people that are fragmented are like running the show, you know what I mean? Then we're all totally screwed. And it is in that sense, those you know, this stuff is happening to keep everybody kind of in that situation. But on an individual level, I think, which is what we wanted to focus on, yeah, it's just about really repairing that energy field, basically.
Yeah, it's witnessing it, first of all, seeing it for what it is. So you would see it in things like mental confusion states, you know, like narcissism, schizophrenia, or personality disorders. Addictions are another big sign of heavy soul fragmentation. And of course, then when you do fragment, the gap in the energy field is like a flashing green light to entities and attachments and parasites and all of these other energies that want to attach to you, which then amplify the fragmentation even more, because you're just this access point for for these energies that want to contribute to spiritual warfare, creating the loose energy that feeds in, that's getting harnessed from Earth. And I'd say with the mind control programs, what I thought was interesting about the MK Ultra when they were giving them LSD was that in those states you have very, very open channels to access multidimensional versions of yourself. And it was almost like they are attempting to fragment so much that you're not only fragmenting this reality, but you're echoing that out in the multiverse as well. Mm. And they're using, you know, code words to activate certain behaviors in these individuals, and that, you know, they're all up in celebrity world and all of this activity that's going on. The media, the institutions, everywhere. It's all presentations of soul fragmentation.
But it's interesting. I did read that just this morning, Lou, just quickly. There was a couple of reports, or quite a few actually, of MK Ultra survivors that had come out and they had had, you know, these repressed memories come back and basically remembering being put through the MK Ultra program, mm-hmm. and that they remember the specific words of people in the room taking pieces of the soul off, you know, that's how the language that was being used, you know, maybe even in those sort of like lab settings or, you know, I think, I don't know, it's just interesting that a few people have reported that because sense, then it's not really brainwashing, you know, there's something kind of more sinister at play.
Oh, no, it's completely agendered. And what happens there, though, is that is on the level of collective. So they're doing that to individuals that then go out, speak on a forum, stage or platform that normalize whatever behaviors they've got, so that then this reflects back into communities, into individuals. And that's what's happened with paedophilia as well. So they have then filtered that down from a mass level to words of acceptance, and this is where you have like personal groomers, and they're fragmented themselves, and they have this, and when you have that fragmentation, it's like trauma bonding as well, so you automatically align with people that are in the same frequency of you. It's such a massive cycle that's going on with this,
and I think it's massively affecting the transgender movement as well.
Gender
confusion, and it's so typical of, it's just exactly what soul fragmentation is. And it's a perfect representation of how that would play out is, you know, losing that wholeness in yourself and having confusion and having being split almost, and having like the split gender. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And there's, there's a lot of, changes in society in the last, say, 100 years since we've been having this mass ability to communicate globally, and that has affected the rise of soul fragmentation and acceleration across the planet, because there are access ways now to just, like, even before we spoke recording, I was telling you about looking for a documentary, and there's all these documentaries on murders and the case, the unsolved case. And I did used to watch them, and I had a lot of soul fragmentation back then. And just the normalization that we're cool to watch these gory details of someone be murdered, and normalizing that, talking in conversation the next day about murder trials and all these really horrific experiences. But when your soul is fragmented, that's just completely normal to you, because you operate on that frequency.
And it's not like normal.
No, it's not. And this is not the case that you jump from one camp of, you know, crazy schizophrenia into this hippy-dippy love. The soul fragmentation and soul retrieval. So soul fragmentation itself, when the soul is split through any experiences that we go through that are a destruction of ourselves or destruction to others, when it's continually happening. So the soul part, so the actual process, what occurs is that you, if you think about it, like you are a mirror and you're walking through life, and then you have this experience, and then a part of the mirror just smashes off, but the mirror stays exactly where the experience happened. And then the rest of the soul carries on. So the mirror carries on walking through life. And it's this protective mechanism, like a survival mechanism, so that your soul can carry on and continue to have the experiences and hopefully continue on the journey to realize that, okay, that soul part is there and I will go back and retrieve it.
It's sort of like a lizard who gets its tail chopped off, kind of.
Yeah. Well, the lizard can they grow their tails back?
Actually, they can grow it back. Yeah. But it's almost like if you're injured, you're better off. Or say, you know, you're in a rock climbing accident and you've got to chop your arm off and leave it in a rock.
Yeah.
You have to let go of that bit that's damaged so that you can survive, basically.
Yes, and keep going. Exactly. And it's necessary. And this is all, you know, it's done through source because we need to deeply live these feelings as well. And that is sometimes the hardest part I find with people when I'm working with them, to face that we've chosen these experiences, we've chosen for this to happen, but we've also chosen to find a solution to it. So the soul part is in the experience, and in a spiritual sense, this will be within any kind of realm. So it will sometimes be, say you experienced trauma with a certain person, they may have a soul part for you. So like a partnership, parents, any abusers, anything like that, will often hold that soul part because they're on a level, they're on a frequency that is about taking from others and retaining that as their power, and there's more to that behind it often. But sometimes it will be the case that a person has your soul part, and it can happen, you know, it can be small, it can be big. There's no sort of like a soul fragmentation is a soul fragmentation. You want to be whole. It's not like, oh, that little bit doesn't matter, I'm just going to leave that. It's, you know, it's a part of you, something happened there. But the reason for it, and this is why it's such this beautiful whole concept, because when you realize it, you then see, because the journey to realize that it's happened is very revealing in itself. You're getting to be exposed to the emotions, to the blocks that have stopped you because of that experience. When you return it, you receive all the memories back from that time, you become more whole, that which then leads you to seek other soul parts because you realize the impact that has. So you go on this sort of continued experience of retrieving them. And yeah, it's a case of the bigger ones come back first. So say your biggest traumas in this life will often be returned. And what happens in the shamanic sense, when I work with people and I do this, I will often have multiple soul retrievals depending on the individual and where they're at. And it's always based on, like, every healing is always based upon how much that person is willing to meet source and willing to let everything go. So you will never really experience a soul retrieval that is not for you as well. And the fragmentation, yeah, they can be huge. You know, sometimes they come back as these huge parts of the soul, and they're very sacred, and, you know, have a lot of potency in them for healing work for the person.
And I think, and just when I had mine, two major soul fragments put back on, which was like almost 18 months ago now. It sounds really cheesy, but you just feel like before that you weren't quite yourself. And then when you get them back, you just, I don't know, you just have this authenticity and kind of like a return back to your, yeah, like you said, like your purpose and your path, which was another major thing that I think is that it's important for, is that wholeness, like you said, to be able to fulfill your purpose. Because when you are fragmented, that completely goes astray, you know, and you're sort of can be confused. You can have the, like you said, the personality disorders, anxiety, depression. You know, you really need to be whole, to have that whole soul, really, to be able to live your life like fully.
And it's really about the wholeness, is just about the love returning too, because when you return your parts, things that bothered you don't bother you anymore because you're able to hold the compassion for yourself and for others. So it's returning you. So in the frequency sense, you're raising your frequency that will stay there. You're not going to dip back down again because you're not missing that soul part anymore. Whereas when you're so fragmented, there's such mental confusion, and you cannot see the wood for the trees. You're really stuck in it. I've like been on that end of it where I was heavy in depression. I had felt I was multiple personalities and so split. And when I was going through my own soul retrievals, they were happening. I didn't know what was going on at the start, and they were happening anyway. And I was, you know, my guides were just pulling things in. So I had a few, and they're very exhausting as well, because to have that soul retrieval part back to you and integrate can take anything. Like, it can take a day, it can take a month, it can take a year before you fully are experiencing that wholeness again. So I remember when they were coming back and just like weeping and having all those memories that come back again. And it's not memories that you see the experience that you're in, but you see it for what it meant in your own growth and your own expansion. So you hold so much compassion for it. It's not in a negative sense. You definitely have a bit of a grieving period where, you know, you realize that this has happened. And, you know, I've had so many, like, I still have it happen, and it happens spontaneously when I go into journeys. When I do journeys in different intentions, different soul parts will come back, and a lot from past lives as well. But when I do this with individuals, it's such a sacred process. Like, it's a really, in terms of healing, it's probably the highest healing that you can receive, because it's a real relationship between you and source, between the individual that's receiving the healing and source. And it's like that reconnection back again. And the retrievals. So I've had retrievals spontaneously happen over the years, even when I was doing the New Age stuff, and I didn't know at the time what they were. And it would be like through the affirmations, but also an embodiment in yourself, particularly around, not protection, but more boundaries of what you would accept now. So when you have an intention behind, say, I'm not going to do that activity anymore, I don't feel aligned with that, you can call in a soul retrieval through that if you fully embody it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think if you are, you know, connecting with the higher self and really, and your life is changing and you're becoming a bit more in touch, you know, with yourself and connecting more to source yourself, that's when those like spontaneous, it's almost like a magnet, you just become more of a magnet, I think, to retrieve those soul parts back spontaneously.
You do. And it's
which is why it's good to do the work.
It is. And it's just reflective of where you're at as well. So you might feel it might have happened and you haven't realized, and you just feel that you're never dipping down to the lowest point that you had before. I always think that's a real sign of it, because you have these lows that you experience, and, you know, we've all had them where something has happened and we feel so low after something, but you don't have the low lows like you used to. If you're riding the waves and you're dipping in and out of those lows all of the time, then definitely there's usually, you know, a sign there that you're ready for some soul retrieval. But soul retrieval is one of the main practices of shamans as well, because it's about the spiritual realm, and the whole purpose of shamanism is to return the power to the individual. So returning your soul parts is returning your own power that is available to you. And it's not to do with the healer or the shaman giving it to you. It's about you being ready, and about it's representing where you're at.
But I think often if you booked with a shaman and you're going for a journey, that is in itself a sign that it's just, and it's funny, there is so much synchronicity, I think, like I've noticed along the way with things like that, you know, that, you have to be ready in a way, and you kind of do have to seek it out, I guess, which is all kind of, you know, I don't know, there's a nice synchronicity to it, I guess.
Yeah, it's all part of where you're at. But when it does happen and, you know, you're living in it and you just see like life begins to fall into place. So and it's part of the manifestation, like the real way of manifestation, not the law of attraction and all that bullshit that goes on with it. But the actual, you know, your life manifests as it should be, because you're reclaiming who you really truly are. And then you can go further and further into it if you want to explore what's happening in the greater world. You know, this is the reason why we have so many upside down politicians and, you know, the royal families, you know, how they operate. It just explains everything. It's why this is all occurring on a greater scale for a greater purpose in spiritual battle.
And I think, like you said before, a major part of it is that it's really normalized to just think, oh yeah, it's normal to be a bit anxious or depressed or stressed, or, you know, to not be able to sleep properly, or, you know, all those like physical manifestations of of not being whole and having a fragmented soul from whenever, childhood or teenagehood or whenever. But it's not normal for human beings to be living like in this state of constant stress and having all this trauma. And yeah, in a way, like the modern world is set up for it. Like there's so many reasons to be stressed the way that the world is going at the moment. Whereas if you think back to those more primitive cultures or the more sovereign societies that we've talked about before, you know, they would be like living their lives deliberately. They'd have systems set up and ways of living that completely honoured and supported the fact that the soul should be completely protected, you know, and nurtured. And, you know, I just think, I don't know, in the world at the moment, it's not a priority. In fact, it seemed to be like witchcraft or, you know, all this like new age kind of wishy-washy stuff. But all of that, again, is just a massive you know, it's just to keep us away from what we should be, which is whole and connected to source. Like that's what's sort of so upsetting, I think, to see play out at the moment, you know, across society.
Yeah, this normalizing of how everything is definitely not the way. I think we all need many expanders to say that, look, living wholly is, and being also normal is what is available to everyone. Because I used to think, like, you know, people that you'd sort of say, and they're just floating along in a bubble and they're happy and, you know, they're feeling that and they're magnetic. And you think, wow, that is like a unicorn. You sort of see them on holiday maybe or in random places. But actually, you know, when I talk to people now and you do too, and we just have conversations with people and we're like, look, you don't need to feel that way. Let it out, let it go,
it's not normal.
And see that you can actually function normally, because there's so many subcultures of it, like look at the mom world, look at the like executive world, look at even the grandparents that like are in competition about what holiday they're going on.
I know. You just see it playing out everywhere.
It exists everywhere. And it's just like, you know, you and I have the kids, and as much as we are protecting them and raising them consciously, they're going to go through experiences. Things are going to feel like trauma to them and things they're going to see. But you also have to remember that's part of their own soul's journey too. And even ours, and even everybody at this moment. Like, we've all chose to come here. And if you're listening to this podcast now, then, you know, there's a reason for you to explore it further, because this is not something that's normally talked about. It's not, it's obviously hidden, and, you know, it's ancient knowledge that doesn't want to be known about, because once people access it and hang on, hello, we all are able to do this ourselves. What? Yeah. Okay. So we can all fix ourselves. What? Are you kidding me? I don't need to rely on anyone else. I have my own power. That, you know, that power that's behind that as collective is unbelievable. So yeah, I think now we've reached through everything. I just feel we've reached the peak of the dark side, and now it's this like rainbow light that's coming through, and all this healing that occurs. Even when I do group stuff now, soul retrieval comes through in a group because the person that is there is being amplified by the energy that's around them and they're getting it. And they're like, oh my God, because just that feeling, like it's indescribable how that feels. Like you can't really put a definition on it of how it feels to receive a soul part. It's like, for me, it's close to when your kids are being born. You know that euphoric love that comes into you and just blows your mind away. And like, again, like a little bit of grief around, oh my God, you know, it's been gone for so long. Yeah, it's just such a beautiful
experience. I feel like that might have happened to me in that sound healing, Lou. Remember that sound healing where I had to like bail at the end because it was just full on? But I had such a went on such a journey in that sound healing. And then I told you when I left in the car, I was like so – felt so high. I wonder if I had some sort of like reconnection, because that was in the group setting as well.
Yeah, there was a few that night. Because
I almost felt like I was on like mushrooms when I finished that. I was just so –
Yeah, this is it though. Like, and this – like there was you and there was another three or four in the room, and there was soul retrieval, because the literal – like the energy that is there, like that is being held in the room, and you know, my space is very light and, you know, open. There's no blockages going on at all. And soul retrieval, because I do it individually so often, it's like these, it's supported by angelic realms, because they're the closest to source.
And people was there too, the angel.
Yes, yes, our angel podcast, our beautiful Pippa was there as well in the Sound Healing. And these angelic beings are just waiting for your availability to be ready to deliver that. So it can occur in these existing, like in, I do it in Sound Healings, I do it with
groups. Yeah, it only just occurred to me that that's my, because, oh God, I was so affected by that Sound Healing, Lee, like I told you.
Yeah,
just wondering if it was just the way you described it. I was like, oh, hang on. Maybe that happened to me.
That was me, yeah. and then, yeah, it happens like I do most of mine, I would say. I go through in shamanic journeys a lot of mine. Spontaneously, it may happen if I'm somewhere and something really significant has gone on. But when I've had mine in shamanic journeys, it's a lot of childhood stuff and, multiple ways that they come back to you. And even in other people's healings, like they come back in many forms, but it's always supported. Like that's the beautiful thing too. Like it really echoes the connection that you have spiritually across multi-dimensions to these light beings, these beings of high frequency that want to support this happening.
Yeah, well, so you need to have like the good, yeah, you need to have like the really, really high functioning whole, like the energy field. If it's damaged, it's not going to be as able to connect.
Yes. So it's like you get like everything going on. You're getting your guides, you're getting angels. But in practical terms, like in meditation, it's possible as well. Deep meditation, not just dipping in because you're doing your 5 minutes of mindfulness. If you come up against, like the way I say to people is that you usually have the most pressing issues, like problems, traumas, something you know that is significant, that's replaying, it's shown in your life many ways. Maybe you feel like you were always judged as a kid, so you're just being judged everywhere and you have this judgment block. So you can actually then in meditation go in, connect to that version of you that felt judged. And you can just call in the wholeness, and you just want to make sure there's some way that it's integrated and you're integrating it in a sense that you embody that, you feel it. It's not like an integration where you're just like, oh, I held like a key or I held a flower. You know, you've got to actually feel that through your body and that can be your own experience of it. But yes, there are other ways you can do it, working with people. You can do it. Sometimes it happens in things like sound healings and retreats spontaneously. Even yoga. It can happen in yoga as well. But it's always these high frequencies.
Yeah, like with the meditation or the yoga, which is basically like moving meditation, your energy field is like super calm in that space. So if you're doing that for an extended period or meditating for a longer period, not like you said, not like just a quick 5 minute meditation before bed or whatever, or even a guided meditation. But if you're, yeah, it just basically your energy field is like the little waves are just, they're calm. And in that, that is when that kind of healing can also take place with any kind of like damage in the energetic body. And yeah, just keeping your stress low. I mean, there's so many important things that you can do.
Definitely.
To help.
And you need the awareness. The awareness is essential as well, because you cannot replace a block that you've got with your soul part without being aware that the block is there. So you need to have that awareness around it to say that I'm not doing this anymore. It's not a part of me. I'm changing my life. I think we could do a few more resolutions through probably deeper conversation, but generally top line, those ways are going to access soul retrieval for you. Should we wind it up on that one, love?
Yeah, thanks, Lou. That was such an interesting topic. I know you're you do much more of that with your work. I haven't done too much of the soul fragmentation or retrieval, obviously for other people, or even for myself, to be honest. But I think even conceptually it's an important thing to understand. And you know, hopefully the podcast is able to give people, you know, more of an idea of obviously what it actually is, but also it's kind of like, it's a really, you can really visualize it as well. And and start to notice things about yourself and start to feel into that and think, you know, is this something that's causing any of my problems?
Mm.
I think it's a really, really nice goal to try to be whole again.
It is. There's a way to it. Once we have that strategy of a plan and you put soul retrieval in there as part of your plan, you're winning. You're doing it.
Yep.
Thanks, love. And thanks for listening, guys. Reach out if you have any questions on our Sham Mums Instagram page. We're always happy to connect. And have a beautiful week. Thank you.
Have a wonderful week, everyone. Bye, Lou.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye.